It's been the first priority for the governor during this session of the legislature, school vouchers and letting parents have a choice where to send their kids to school. And the bill is headed to the governor's desk, and there's going to be a lot of pomp and circumstance when he signs that into law. Now, there's a lot of questions about what children would benefit the most from this voucher bill. Today's Ask the Expert, we're joined by Nathan Kinnean. He is the American Federation for Children Texas State Director. He is in the KRLD Zoom room. Nathan, thank you so much for the time.
Hi, happy to be here.
Let's talk about this to start with. Your reaction to the governor signing the bill.
Sure. This is a huge, huge day for Texas. I mean, we've been fighting for school choice in Texas for over 30 years. And just yesterday, the Senate voted to concur with the bill that the House sent over. So that bill is headed to Governor Abbott's desk. He'll actually sign it next week, as expected. And finally create what will be the largest day one school choice program in the history of our nation. So it's really true what they say. Everything is bigger in Texas, and this is a big, big day for Texas families.
How different is this school choice bill going to be for Texas as opposed to the 30 other states that have them?
Well, so this is actually one of the strongest laws that's ever been passed. So let me explain a little bit how it works, and then I'll tell you how it's different. So what this bill will allow is for all families in Texas will be eligible to apply. Low-income and special needs students will be prioritized first and put in front of the line. But the average family will be able to use about $11,000 for a variety of pre-approved education expenses. That could be tuition at a private school, that could be homeschool expenses, that could also be things like tutoring or special needs therapies or even transportation to the chosen school. And this is a really robust tool that will allow families to customize their education and really get what every individual student needs. Now, the way that Texas has done this better is Texas has made more students, more money available for students than any other state in the country has ever done before. There's $1 billion set aside. And also, Texas is leading the way by having the highest school choice dollar amount. So where Texas is offering about $11,000 to the average family, most states only do $7,000 or $8,000. And that's because the Texas legislature is really trying to create robust access to both private education and all of those other things that we know that students might need in order to succeed in their education.
Now, this bill will be beneficial, especially for kids in large cities. But what about rural areas where there are no private schools or charter schools available?
Well, that's the thing is, you know, school choice has largely benefited rural communities over its more than 30-year history. I mean, first of all, as I said, you know, it can be used for things other than private school. So there are a lot of people who homeschool in rural communities who might want to take advantage of this. You know, rural communities are oftentimes very interested in new innovations like micro schooling or learning pods. But even beyond that, we have a ton of data that shows that these sorts of programs respond to parent demand. And if there is demand in rural Texas, if families want to participate in this, we've seen that there will be new private school operators who start and open to take advantage of that demand. Florida, for instance, in rural Florida, the supply of private schools has more than doubled in the last 2 years because parents in rural communities want options too.
What would stop private schools from deciding that they're going to increase the tuition costs because of a bill like this?
Well, that's a great question. First of all, private schools want to have more customers, and most of private schools are mission-driven and are interested in serving low-income students and students with special learning needs. You know, we actually have some long-run studies that analyze this, and we found that in states that have school choice programs, private schools actually increase tuition at lower rates than states without school choice programs. And the reason is simple. It's because of competition. This school choice program allows parents to move their child to the best education environment and take their education dollars with them. You know, when you have that kind of free market competition, it actually, you know, keeps a damper on price increases in comparison to when you have a monopoly.
When you have a parent that sends a child to a school, a lot of times that school is in the neighborhood. What about costs for transportation for those children into their new schools?
That's a great question. And that's precisely why the legislature has included transportation as an item that this money can be used for. We recognize that a lot of families, especially lower income families, might have challenges with transportation. So these ESA dollars, they can be used for fee-for-service transportation to help students get to the education provider that they're trying to get to.
Really fascinating. And one of the other questions that had come out of this as well is for low-income families, you can see where the need would be. The bill itself also allows for families earning up to $160,000 for a family of four to be part of this first phase. Does this benefit wealthy families more than lower income families?
Well, look, at the end of the day, every single student should have the ability to use school choice. Education dollars belong to the student. Education dollars are meant to educate kids. And we believe that everybody should be able to use school choice. But ultimately, we know that low-income students and students with special needs, the students that need help most, should get school choice first. And that's exactly what this bill does. Everybody is eligible to apply, but applicants are prioritized based on certain categories. The first category is special needs students. Beyond that, it's low-income students earning $60,000 a year for a family of four. And then beyond that, it increases to middle-income families and then everybody else. And that is entirely by design. We expect that there will be massive demand for this program, and we want to make sure that the students who need it most are put front in line. There's actually a cap in the program that prevents any more than 20% of program funds from going to the upper category. So, you know, these quote-unquote affluent families are actually capped from participating too much in the program. And that's a sign of legislative intent. I mean, again, we believe that everybody should be able to use school choice. That's about freedom. But we want to make sure that there's a strong prioritization for the kids who need it.